From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And welcome inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. JP Shadrick with you. John Osier coming up. We'll get to our special guest, AJ Cann, as well, the Jaguars guard. That's part of this week with the Jaguars, of course. Well, training camp is here. We'll get to some topics surrounding the start of training camp. The Jags are on the field Friday. And we'll play a game of this or that when Brian Sexton joins us a little later. You can get in on the show at JP Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jags Voice, and at Jaguars. And we welcome in our first guest today, rookie guard AJ Cann. It's good to see you. What's your social handle? What's your Twitter handle and all that?
My Twitter is AJ Cann 50, and my Instagram is AJ Cann 60. So, yeah.
So 50?
Yeah, because I can't figure out how to change it on Twitter yet. I just changed it on Instagram.
Well, we've got some social guys that might can help you out with. We've got a staff for that, right?
By the end of the show, we'll figure that out.
I think we'll get that figured out. We'll get some questions for you from social media coming up a little bit later. Boy, it's finally here. You're officially in camp now as a rookie, but is it any different than the summer so far, or the spring so far?
Of course, I think it will be a little different. You know, OTAs and mini camp, you know, that's just mental stuff, to teaching you the technique. But, you know, when camp comes around, well, starting this week, you know, you get to display that stuff in a physical mentality. So I look forward to that.
And you're going through it, too. People think of learning the offense as receivers running routes, quarterbacks knowing where guys are. But there are plays, schemes, things that you have to learn. Talk about your learning process right now, and I guess you're going through sort of your second or third time seeing this. How much easier is it seeing it second, third time around?
Well, yeah, it's a little different. When I first got here, you know, teaching me the plays, it was kind of like, wow, now I got to do this, do that. But now studying it and looking at it so much and being taught it, hearing it so much, I'm starting to see it clear and more clear now, so I'm getting used to it.
Now, from a public point of view, everybody who writes anything about this team, can Beatles, the competition at your spot. But I assume as a rookie that you're not really thinking about that right now going into this, the competition for the starting job.
But, you know, either way, you know, we're here to compete, you know, as a team. We talk about that a lot, just competing within each other. But for me, I just want to challenge myself to try to get better each and every day, and that's what I'm going to do.
So you're not looking at it as, hey, I'm going to try to get the starting, I'm going to be the starting left guard on this team. That's not how you can look at that right now, or is it?
I mean, not exactly. You know, I'm just trying to get better right away. You know, if the time comes where the coaches have to make a decision and put me in, you know, I'm going to be ready to play, and I'm going to try to play the best of my ability. But at this point, you know, it's kind of hard to think about that when it's still so much for me to do.
Take us into that offensive line room. How is that group as a whole? A lot of new faces in there. You're the rookie that came in. How does everybody get together?
Oh, man, it's awesome. Man, that room, you know, I thought it would be different first coming in, you know, not knowing the guys. But I was able to gel with them just like that, and it's fun. You know, we laugh. We get along very well.
It's different, though, for you. I mean, you were a starter for, what, 51 games at South Carolina, second most in Carolina history, and an All-America coming out, and a draft pick and all this. You're kind of the man in Columbia, you know? All of a sudden, you're not quite the man anymore when you're a rookie coming in the NFL, right? It's a little different. And was that kind of a surprise, a shock to you coming here at all?
No, because you got to go through that phase. You know, in high school, I didn't play my first year, you know. Then I started playing. I got recruited in college. I redshirted, didn't play. Mm-hmm. Then I got the chance. I started to play, and I made the most of it. It's, you know, that's how to be here, I guess. You know, once I get my chance to play, I'm gonna make the most of it.
We talked about it some before we started, but tell me how you prepare for the heat that's going to hit you on Friday morning. Or I mean, you're already into it, so you're already feeling it. How did you prepare for it?
You know, me being from the South already, you know, I was kind of adjusted to the heat already. But here in Florida, you know, it's a little more humid. But like I told you guys earlier, you know, you just got to stay hydrated, you know, like pre-hydrated. You got to drink a lot before and throughout. You know, that's what I'm going to try to do, is just continue to stay hydrated. And I guess my body just adjusts to the heat.
I'll put you on the spot here. What's your best Steve Spurrier story? I mean,
I did this one time already with the one-on-one interview.
I remember this. I was there for that.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, you asked me that. And this is just my favorite one.
Okay.
So before games, he would come up to every single player and, you know, just showing some love before the game. Like, let's go, man. Let's go. You got it. Let's go. So we got, it's me, AJ, then you got TJ, DJ, JJ, and CJ. I can remember probably one time when he called me AJ. Most of the time it's, let's go JJ or TJ. He doesn't call me AJ during that time.
I covered him 2 years back in the mid-90s. That part about Steve hadn't changed. No. So that's good. That's good stuff.
Let's go to social media. This is from Instagram. You're AJCan60 on Instagram, right? How often do you use it, first off?
I put pictures up every once in a while. Yeah. So I use it a good bit.
Of what?
Yeah.
Like, what do you take pictures of? I still don't understand Instagram thing.
You know, pictures of moments that I like, just like my first when I signed, when I got drafted, you know, stuff that I can remember.
This is from Cameron Breeden talking a little bit about South Carolina. And do you think playing in the SEC better prepared you for the NFL? How much of a difference is it from SEC play, at least so far in practice in the NFL?
Well, you know, people say that the SEC is like an NFL conference, but you know, it may be a little bit of an advantage because I played against great guys every week in the SEC. You get Georgia, Florida, Auburn, stuff like that. So I guess it probably prepared me a little more because I played against top talent all the time. So I would say yes.
It's still a different game though, right? Even
it is a totally different game. It really is. So, because here in the NFL, you get guys that are probably twice as good as those guys that you played in college. So, you got to bring your A game.
Are you struck when you're looking around an NFL locker room by the fact that, you know, the eighth guy that you're playing on the defensive line was probably as good as what you played in college in a lot of cases? I mean, that's the reality, right?
Yes, that's how it is. When I, some guys, I heard their names, like when I watched them in college, I was like, dang, this guy was good. You know, he's in the third rotation and I'm like, dang, this guy was like the best D lineman at his college. So it's crazy.
So it's about just raising your game and playing at the level that you can consistently to play with that, right?
Yeah, you know, mentally, you got to be ready and you just got to be able to focus in.
Let's go back to social media now. This is from Cameron Franklin. Why did you choose to wear number 60?
Well, you know, I really didn't choose it. You know, it was probably one of the numbers that was left, and I had 50 in college, and I wanted to keep like the zero number in there, so I went with 60. I thought it was good for me.
Because I don't think linemen can have 50s in the NFL. I don't think they can.
Because I actually tried. One of the equipment guys messaged me and was like, what number will you have? We have these numbers in stock. And I was like, well, can I get a 50 number? He was like, those numbers for the linebackers. I was like, oh, well, then I'll go 60. Yeah.
That's right. That's for sure. This is Sammy K06 asking other than football. Uh-oh. Wait a minute.
I know Sammy, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he's got a question for you. Other than football, what was your favorite Gamecock sport to attend? There's only one right answer here, winky face.
That's the Gamecock equestrian team. I love watching them girls compete. It's fun. Yeah.
Equestrian team?
Yeah. I went out for the first time during my last year at South Carolina, and I kind of learned the routine. They let me ride the horse. It was great. I loved it.
What?
I got so many questions right now.
I get so tired of these players coming in here and talking equestrian. I'm tired of it at this
point. Are you serious?
Every time. All the time.
I'm about to say.
Yeah, you're just another guy coming in and talking about
one more equestrian fan.
Yeah.
So, what do they do? What's the
It's like they have like an English team and I want to say like a fencing team. It's like three different riding events that they do. And I enjoy the one. I think that's I might be wrong. They might get mad at me, but it may be English. I don't know. But I know they do like a certain routine where they ride around. The point system is weird. You got to watch it. I can't explain it, but if I was watching it, I can probably tell you just from being there a few times. It's hard to explain.
So what was the last time you rode a horse?
That last time. It's funny. Like I invited a couple of teammates to come watch them, and the girls put me on like the smallest horse. And I was like, really? You put the big guy on like the smallest horse? Yeah.
Did you jump any fences or anything?
Nah, I wasn't doing that. I had them like just like guiding me. They were in front and guiding the horse, because if I put me on that thing by myself, no telling what I do in that horse.
That's fantastic. Let's finish with this. I mean, big picture here. On the field Friday, yeah, you feel like you're an NFL player when you sign, you're in the off-season program and all that, but this is what you play for, right?
Yeah.
Training camp. It's here.
Yep. So you just, you know, now it's time, I guess, to get to work now. You know, my head's in the playbook. You know, focusing in at practice each and every day. Like I said earlier, challenging myself to be better every day. So that's what I'm looking forward to, and I'm just ready to get to it.
How much are you looking forward to that first day when the pads go on? Because at your position, the wide receivers can get a little bit of a feel in OTAs. But for you, it doesn't start until next, I think it's Wednesday or Tuesday, mm-hmm. when they actually go on. Is that a moment that...
Well, you know, I think that's a way to show your physicality and how much you're ready to play. And I think, you know, that's the way you can show the coaches that, hey, I'm here, I'm a tough guy, I'm physical. You know, once you get a guy that has that toughness and that ability to compete, you know, you can teach him the plays and show him what to do, and he can get the job done.
And that's what you feel like you're about, right? I mean,
yeah, like I've been, you know, I'm an O-lineman, you know, I've been playing this position forever, and that's a part of the game, being physical and tough.
I think you're supposed to stay off horses now that you're in the National Football League. So
it might
stay
be in your
away.
Contract.
That might be in your contract. You might want to read the fine print. So thanks for coming on today, man.
No problem. AJ, thank you guys so much. Thank you.
AJ Cann, Jaguars guard, joining us on Jaguars.com Live. Come see him and the rest of the Jags at training camp. 10 practices open to the public starting Friday. Yes, this Friday. That includes the Monday, August 3rd practice at Mandarin High School. That's under the lights. The scrimmage at Everbank Field is the following Saturday. And fans must register for free tickets. Jaguars.com/training camp events to come on down and see the Jaguars in the Florida heat. Should be fun starting on Friday. AJ Cann with us. And Brian,
and speaking of equestrian,
thinking of horse riders,
you
rode a horse a couple weeks ago.
Several of them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like horses. Did you ride horses?
Oh, yeah, we were talking about equestrian.
Equestrian guy, just like you. Man.
Well, you got to have a big horse for a big guy like that. I'll just say that.
I guess so. I guess you have to. I'm not really a horse expert. You know?
Look, they put people on the scale at the ranch we went to in Wyoming, and if you weighed 1 ounce over 230 pounds, you weren't getting on the horse. So they must have a big horse.
You know, there's stories.
Remember the horse from Blazing Saddles? You didn't see it. The horse from Blazing Saddles?
I did.
It was a bull. Yeah. It would be a bull to take a guy like that.
Let's get to some news around the league before we move to
You really do need to take the time on Netflix to watch it.
I'll take a look. Let's start with the offensive line. We'll get to some news around the league, the Brady stuff, but let's start with the offensive line. How realistic is it that Cann could be the starting left guard?
I think it's pretty realistic by the end of the season. I'd be a little bit surprised if it happens going into the season, simply because Zane Beadles has that veteran presence and he knows, you know, he's got the veteran stuff. And I said before, I think this team really wants to get into a situation where rookies play their way into the starting lineup and they perform and they're there and they've earned that job. So it wouldn't surprise you to see that transition take place sometime this season. I'd be a little surprised if it takes place before the opener.
You know, I'm told that Cann is the kind of guy that Marone wants, that Doug Marone, the new offensive line coach, wants. He's a power player. And I think we saw last year that Beatles is not necessarily a power player. Now, he's worked on his stance, and mm-hmm. he improved, and Marone was effusive in his praise of him at the end of the OTA. So I think you're right. I think the veteran presence there gives Beatles the upper hand.
There's no question that's the way they want to go. I mean,
why put another
gamble? Right.
They did the rookie thing last year. The more veteran presence that you can have, especially with all the new faces.
Well, no, I meant the gamble. I mean, Cann is the direction that they to see those guards go.
Yeah.
And I think between him and Linder going forward, you've got a good combination there.
If Cann is 80% of what Linder appears to be, boy, do they have themselves set on the interior of the line for a while.
Camp is here. What is the, before we move on to the this and that game,
it's not a game to us.
Oh, it's
just so you know.
It's big. It's more than just a game to you guys.
More than a game.
Yes, I forgot. Sorry. Biggest storyline of camp starting on Friday. What is it for
you? I mean, the easy thing is to say Bortles. We're going to talk Bortles for the next 3 weeks. So I'll go away from Bortles and say offensive line. You know, because for the first time, as we were talking to AJ about, they get the pads on. And for the first time, you can see some of this depth that they think they have and frontline ability. Cann, Wisniewski, Jeremy Parnell, the development of Lou Jokel. It looks like, for the first time in a long time, that they've got a lot of guys to choose from, and they can be better, they can be deeper, and they have to be.
That's the story. The next one will be the rebuilt, you know, defensive line retooled with Audric in place of Red Bryant, and how they create a pass rush in the absence of Dante Fowler Jr. by committee. What can Chris Clemens give them? Is Andre Branch ready to step forward? How does Ryan Davis or Dan Scuda fit into that? We'll talk about the pass rush a lot.
And, of course, none of that's a storyline. Blake Bortles is a storyline.
No,
it was a nice conversation.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
It's all about the quarterback,
sure.
Right? Speaking of quarterbacks, a big topic in the league, of course, the last 24 hours has been the Tom Brady suspension upheld. That includes the Week 3 game against the Jacksonville Jaguars in Foxborough. Does it help the Jags' chances? Do you want to see Tom, or do you not want to see Tom if you're the Jags?
Well, it obviously helps their chances. I mean, you've got Tom Brady, who's one of the best, you know, 15, 20 football players ever to play. I mean, you know, so you've got that. So, yeah, it helps. But also bear in mind that the Patriots are a consistent championship, deep in the playoffs team. And usually those kind of teams figure out a way to withstand. And they've withstood his absence before.
That's right.
For an entire season. So him being out does not make that an easy get.
You know, the Jaguars have never beaten Brady, so that speaks for itself. Obviously, here's their chance, right?
Who this is? Since he's not playing.
Well, yeah, but to be the Patriots. Boy, I better get sharp here for this or that. You know who it's a bummer for? It's a bummer for the NFL, because they had that primetime game on Thursday to kick off the season with Ben Roethlisberger and that Steelers franchise against the Super Bowl champs, and now they're getting Ben versus Jimmy, and it doesn't hold the same weight. So
it hurt the rating a bit.
Oh, no. I don't think so.
I mean, to have Brady versus maybe in the fourth quarter.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. Let's get to a game we call
This or That. This or That.
It's called This or That, and the score is vital for these two.
It's irrelevant. Can you even remember?
I don't know.
Well, it's vital, but it's irrelevant? That doesn't make any sense. I thought it was important to us. More than just a game to you.
Where we were at is irrelevant. We're starting a new season.
That's number one, over or under, will the Jags win more than 8 games this year? I guess it'll be 8.5, we'll put it at.
I'm going to say one under. I'm saying 7-9 is what this team can get to. I think that is it's a 4-game improvement, which I believe is a significant improvement in this league. You're talking about a quarter of your schedule that you've won that many more games. So I'm hesitant to predict more. 5-6 win improvement is an awful lot. So I'm going to say 7.
I'm not a middle-of-the-road guy, as you know, but I'll stay middle-of-the-road here. I say they win 8. I don't believe in the Texans. I think their quarterback issues and, you know, they got to change at receiver. Their offensive line isn't as good. I think the Jags split with the Texans this year, and I think 8-8 is where they finish. I watched that team all offseason. I like what they put together. They look like a team. You know, they've only won 7 games the last 2 years. I mean, to say 8, people are going, really? But that's kind of the way it works. You know, if you go back and look at some of the championship teams and, 3-13, 5-11, and then all of a sudden, you know, that breakthrough to 8-8, 9-7, and then if you've got the right quarterback, some sustained growth. I'll say 8-8.
John Osier gets number one today. Let's go to number two.
Totally random.
Speaking of Bortles and the quarterback, touchdowns or interceptions? Will Blake throw more touchdowns or interceptions this season?
He threw 11 touchdowns and 17 interceptions last year, and he should be better with Julius Thomas with an improved offensive line. But if you go back and look at what Mark Brunell did in his second season as the quarterback here, he had Andre Rison for most of the season, Keenan McCardell, who was a high-dollar free agent at the time, and a promising young receiver in Jimmy Smith, and he threw 19 touchdowns and 20 interceptions in leading the NFL in passing yards, and the Jags were the number one passing offense in that season. So 19 and 20 seems about right. I'll say, though, that he'll flip it and go 20-19.
Well, I guess I've got to argue the other way because it's this or that. So say maybe one less.
So I made logic. So just mark it down for me.
Right. So I don't know that he'll throw actually more interceptions than touchdowns. But I think there is a reality with Blake that at least early on, he's going to be a little bit of a gunslinger. And he's going to have interceptions. And I think the key for him is how he comes back from those, which his mentality seems to be that he can. So for the sake of the argument, I'll say more, but I do think he's going to throw more interceptions than maybe fans like at first. But again, the key for him will be, I think he is a guy who can overcome that, that his teammates will stay confident in, and I think he can play through that better than a lot of young quarterbacks.
Well, and there were a number of interceptions last year where the offensive line broke down. He had to throw the ball quick. The receiver was in the wrong place. He still has young receivers out there, even though they've got to say, Allen Robinson didn't finish the season, right? I mean, Marquise Lee was hurt at times last year. Allen Hurns was the most consistent. Julius Thomas helps. That's why I think, you know, right around the same is about where he belongs.
Brian Sexton evens it up. Heading into number three, Mandarin High School or Everbank Field? Which venue will be more fun for practice?
Well, I'm going to win this one because it's got to be Everbank Field. I mean, the scrimmage, everything that...
Wait, are you giving it to him just because he said that?
No, I didn't give anything
like
to anybody
that.
Yet.
All the energy, the scrimmage. I'm looking forward to the Mandarin High School, and it'll be fun being out there. But the energy of a scrimmage, if you remember, there was a lot of energy last year's scrimmage. That's when Blake sort of caught fire, had a couple of big passes. And the story of him last preseason, which was easy to forget during the regular season when things didn't go great, was that, boy, he was on fire during that preseason, sort of played his way into being the people's choice. Scrimmage.
Okay. I'll say that with Blake in the stadium last year, everyone was so excited to see him. Of course you were going to have energy. There's no way you'll replicate that energy. You don't even have your first round pick. I'll say this is going to Americana. This is taking your product out to the people, touching, feeling, putting your arms around them, letting them experience you at a high school. What's better than that? You might as well pull the fire truck up and hang the flag from it like they did here years ago. I mean, it's going to be an amazing evening at Mandarin High School, right in the heart of the community. I don't think it gets any better than going out and being part of the people.
How big is Mandarin Stadium?
I don't know. Hey, who cares?
That's awesome.
Who cares how big it is?
It's a fairly...
It's bigger than Bartram Trail last year, right?
It's a high school stadium.
Not the same. Most Duval County stadiums.
It's going to be beyond unbelievable because I really enjoyed the experience at Bartram, so I think this is going to be better. Yeah,
apparently you did.
I did.
And John Osher gets the victory today. Everbank Field.
One of many.
It's going to be great, of course, Monday night.
Homer.
It's going to be great. Monday night's going to be fantastic. Mandarin High School, but when you got 20,000 here or whatever it is, it's a little better than a few thousand.
You have to tell me.
I'm saying. John Osher.
It's quality, not quantity. Quality, not quantity.
Join us tomorrow night on radio. It's Thursday Night Radio, the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. That's 6 to 7. Jaguars Thursday, 7 to 8, follows immediately. That's tomorrow on 1010XL at 92.5 FM. Well done, guys.
It's upon us.
It's here.
2 days.
Veterans are here tomorrow on the field Friday. For Brian Sexton, John Osher, everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. We'll talk to you Friday from training camp practice on Jaguars.com Live.